The president spoke about it with pride in his State of the Union address, and on a trip to Beijing last November, he made this historic announcement.
Chinese direct investment in the United States has risen sixfold over the past 5 years. Chinese firms directly employ a rapidly growing number of Americans. And all these things mean jobs for the American people, and deepening these ties will mean more jobs and opportunity for both of our peoples. And that's why I'm very pleased to announce that during my visit, the United States and China have agreed to implement a new arrangement for visas that will benefit everyone from students to tourists to businesses, large and small.
A lot of this direct investment has gone directly into the real estate market. $600 million in 2009 has become $12 billion in 2013. U.S. real estate provides a safe haven for wealthy foreigners who want a foothold in the U.S., but it's also a great place to park money and not worry about it losing value. In New York and San Francisco, prices are surging. Property is being snatched up even if no one expects to actually live there. Stephanie Martin Taylor is a news anchor and reporter for KQED Public Radio, looking into the impact of foreign money in the Bay Area. And Ilya Meretz is a reporter for Takeaway co-producer WNYC, who's been reporting on how the housing market is changing in New York City.
There's a lot of things at work, as there always are in New York. For one thing, the New York City economy rebounded a lot faster than the nation's economy as a whole. It's also just a desirable city to live. But there's this relatively new trend of people buying properties here in the city and not actually spending a lot of time living here.
Not in my wildest dream would I be planning on a major Chinese investment movement into the U.S. as we're experiencing today.
Now, that's John Lang, who's part of a real estate company that's based in China, helping to park Chinese money into Manhattan.
That's right. John Liang is the U.S. executive for Xinyuan, which is a large Chinese home builder, although not the largest. And they're actually now building a condo building, a seven-story condo building, on the Williamsburg waterfront in Brooklyn in New York. They won't say it's purpose-built for foreign buyers, but they are marketing to foreign buyers. In fact, they're marketing to a lot of buyers in China.
Now, you ask John Liang who it is that's going to be buying these.
That's right. He told me so far it's 20 to 30% Chinese living in China, but a lot of the buyers also do live in New York. However, they tend to be foreigners, folks maybe who are working at a law firm or on Wall Street for a few years and think that they might eventually go back to Brazil or Russia or whatever country they came from.
Stephanie, is something like this happening in San Francisco?
Yes. And here, of course, we have our tech boom that's driving up prices. We've got tech workers who are very well paid, competing with everyone else for a relatively limited supply of housing. And we've also got a lot of foreign investment coming into the city and surrounding areas. Money from Asia is the dominant force, and a lot of it's coming from China. You've got the institutional investment. We have a Beijing-based firm called China Oceanwide Holdings, which recently agreed to buy a piece of prime real estate south of downtown. Its plans are for a mixed-use development that will include building the second tallest tower in San Francisco next to the Transamerica Pyramid. Also, you've got an increase in just individual Chinese buyers wanting to have a piece of this market. I recently talked to Mark McLaughlin, the CEO of San Francisco real estate firm Pacific Union. He and his colleagues have set up offices in China to expressly to help wealthy buyers navigate the Bay Area market.
It's a demographic that's accelerating its appetite for investment in real estate for purposes of education, for purposes of lifestyle, for purposes of clean air, and really to diversify a portfolio that is being governed by a government that could change their ideas overnight as to what you're allowed to do with your money.
So stability here in the United States, because it's not the Chinese government, it's the market that supposedly rules. And Ilya, if these are investment properties, will they be vacant most of the time?
Maybe you'll live there one day. Maybe your kid will go to NYU one day. Maybe you'll just rent it out. It's unclear, but I did spend some time talking with one buyer. Wen Zhaoxia is his name. He's a mining executive in Hong Kong. Wen Zhaoxia said he expects to collect rent of about $3,000 a month on a one-bedroom. He's done his research. He thinks that that will work. We'll find out in a year or so when he takes possession of the apartment whether he can get that rent.
Stephanie, the Pacific Rim is really familiar with this Asian capital flight phenomenon. Vancouver went through this when Hong Kong went to China. In San Francisco, is the investment quality of real estate in San Francisco something that prices people out of the market?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I said, that you've got these tech workers who are competing for a very limited supply of housing. You have the architecture here that attracts people. You've got the weather, the clean air. And over time, if you look at the trajectory of the Bay Area market, it is, you know, it's had its blips and bobbles, but it's only gone up over the years. And foreign investors know that, and they want to spend their money here.
I want you to listen to something, Stephanie, and then I'll ask you a question.
You got some millennials that are acquiring their first homes, and they've made fortunes in IPOs. That generation, they don't care about a mortgage. They're going to educate their kids, and they want to live right there at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. They're very focused buyers as well.
Now, that's Mark McLaughlin, CEO of Pacific Union, that real estate company that you referred to moments ago. Who is he talking about there, Stephanie?
He's talking about the tech industry, folks. These are young people who are making a lot of money very early on in their careers, and they're paying all cash in many cases because they can.
To both of you, is this investment that the president thinks is a fantastic statistic to be proud of something that the communities are happy about, Ilya?
Here in New York, I would say, over the last year or so, I've been reading more and more grumbling about foreigners and how foreign buyers are distorting the market. It's a little bit debatable to what extent that's exactly happening. Let's remember, New York City has had a housing shortage for a long time. Like San Francisco, we're surrounded by water. It's hard to grow.
Stephanie?
I think it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to, say, China SF, which is the Chamber of Commerce China arm here in San Francisco, they're very excited about this investment. I mean, we haven't had a lot of building during the recession and earlier. It was slower. And now the money coming from China is really helping get some projects literally off the ground. And it's increasing our housing stock. Now, people who are a little more skeptical say, well, who's really going to live in this housing? Is this really going to be investing in our communities and making it possible for people of all income levels to live here?
Or pushing people out to the suburbs. Stephanie Martin-Taylor is a news anchor and reporter for KQED Public Radio. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And Ilya Marritz is a reporter for Takeaway co-producer WNYC. Ilya, thanks to you.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.